You're listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music. Tune in weekly as we interview music teachers and experts from around the world to explore creative activities and ideas that build learning connections in students. Our integrated music teaching approach will deepen your students' understanding of musical concepts, engage them in critical thinking, improve their reading and performance, foster their curiosity, and prepare them for a lifetime of music making. Hi there, teachers, and welcome back to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. You're listening to Tim Topham, and it's great to be with you for another week. Are you a teacher who's ever considered selling your compositions or worksheets, games, or other lesson resources online? Or perhaps you've already started selling them but would like to get some more sales happening? My guest today doesn't even have a website but uses Etsy and Patreon to sell her products and services, and he's been enjoying quite a lot of success. And I really want to share this one with you because I know a lot of you do share your resources on your own websites and perhaps on some marketplaces, but perhaps aren't getting the results that you want. At the end of this interview, we'll let you know how you can check out some of my guests' games for free later on in the year. My guest this week, Abigail Prophet, is a nationally certified teacher of music with a BMus in piano pedagogy and 8 years of teaching experience. She currently runs a studio in North Texas, specializing in preschool and neurodivergent students. Abigail teaches classical piano using a play-based approach through the whole foundation method and loves equipping other teachers to do the same. Her favorite thing about teaching is problem-solving, building relationships with her students, and fostering their unique abilities at the instrument. Abigail, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad I can be here.
Well, I think you are the best named person for a podcast that's occurring during business month at Top Music. Where on earth does the name Prophet come from? I've never heard it before.
Other than my dad, I don't really know. I think it's Scottish. I have a good bit of like Scottish and Dutch in my blood.
So Prophet. Yes, I can see that being Scottish.
So yeah. But I like to make a joke because it's two F's and two T's. So you just double the profit.
I like it. Well, we are going to talk about some businessy things today. So I'm really pleased to have you on with us. But before that, I thought it'd be good to just give us all a quick overview of your studio. Whereabouts are you firstly? What kind of numbers you teach? What ages? That sort of thing.
Yeah. So I'm from Dallas, Texas. I was born here, but my studio has moved a few times. I was teaching in New York City for several years and then South Carolina, and now I'm back in Texas. So I've been a little all over the place, but I have been teaching in a suburb near Dallas for about 3 years now, or a little over 3 years. And I currently have 36 students. So I specialize in preschool lessons, but the largest demographic that I have in my studio currently is about 6 to 8 year olds, with a good mix of beginner 4 year olds and intermediate middle schoolers and even some adults. So it's a good variety right now.
Do you teach one-on-one or groups mainly, or a bit of both?
I do. So during the school year, it's primarily one-on-one. Even through the summer, I teach year round. But in the summers, I also do offer like group piano camps, which is more of a theory emphasis. So students can either opt to add that to their private lessons in the summer or have it replace their one-on-one lessons in those summer months.
So I'm really keen to know about what made you decide to start selling products and services as well as your teaching.
Honestly, selling teaching materials was never really on my radar. As a teenager, I made my own games and like wrote music for my students. And then later, as I started teaching preschool piano, I got desperate for like productive off-the-bench activities because as you probably know, you can't keep a preschooler on the bench the whole time. But I couldn't find what I was looking for online. So I just started creating theory activities and threw them up on Etsy, really just in case any other teachers would find them helpful. But I created it originally because I needed it and just put it out there. I wasn't really planning to start a business. And then as far as selling services, I've always been interested in teaching piano teachers. But I thought that meant producing students who could teach later. And it wasn't until my last semester of studying piano pedagogy that I realized many already established teachers are kind of in this process of like relearning and restructuring their lesson experiences. You know, as the music world fluctuates and new curricula and technology becomes available. So I certainly don't claim authority on everything in the pedagogy world, but I'm kind of slowly stepping into that space of just trying to equip teachers in their businesses and reimagine teaching approaches to be more pedagogically sound. So along those lines, like I have launched two courses and one ebook and hosted a few online workshops, and it's been super fulfilling and exciting, but I'm definitely still in the baby stages of that.
Yeah. And I know how much work goes into all those kinds of things and courses and bringing people along for workshops. So you really started selling these products because you're creating them for your own studio. And I've heard a lot of other teachers do this. They'll start writing music for their students and then they're like, well, maybe some other teachers might like this as well. It sounds like that was really the genesis for you as well. It's like, I've got these things, they're working for me. Why don't I try selling them? And then the services came later. So your coaching and ability to support other teachers came along later. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what are the main things that you sell? Are they sort of mainly around curriculum or is it more games?
I sell mostly music games, but I also sell theory worksheets, boom cards, which are like digital music activities. And then, of course, my courses and like other supplementary tools for piano teachers, like lesson planners specifically for piano lessons, digital templates for like studio calendars and stuff like that.
That's great. And I'm really interested to know that you mentioned Etsy before, and I know you do also sell on Patreon. And I know that a lot of other teachers in the space, I'm thinking Jennifer Fox, for someone who's been around for a long time, maybe even Susan Parody, she sells on her own site. Jennifer Fox sells on her own site, but also Teachers Pay Teachers. So, and I think that's more common. Why did you choose Etsy and Patreon?
Honestly, Etsy was just the most convenient place to set up shop because, again, like it wasn't, from the beginning, it wasn't an intentional business. Obviously, it has morphed into that now. A website is definitely on the radar because I do want a central place for teachers to be able to find all my products instead of like, oh, is that one on Patreon or Etsy or is that on Instagram or Amazon? Or like, they are kind of scattered right now. But
so at the moment, you don't have a central website?
I don't have a website yet, no. But Etsy has just grown so incredibly fast that transitioning everything to a website is going to be a bear of a job. So kind of waiting till I'm in a place of having more time to do that, maybe be able to hire out that work to officially launch that centralized location. So Patreon, kind of the same thing. It's serving as a placeholder until then.
Okay. Is there a point, I mean, if you've got a good following on Etsy and it's working well for you, is there, I understand the value in having a website, but then you could link off to these other places. Here's where to find X and Y. Is there a point for you in grabbing all those things and selling them directly? I guess the question is, what's the downside of just keeping everything on Etsy?
The downside is the commissions that Etsy takes out. I could get a little bit bigger of a cut if I sold them directly. But even, I don't know, if I had my own website, I might start out by linking it to Etsy since I already have a following there. But I think a website could only increase traffic from places that might not shop on Etsy or something like that.
What is the commission that they take?
5% per sale. And it's the same thing with Patreon. So it's a lot better than most.
Yeah, it's like better than Teachers Pay Teachers.
Yeah, it's significantly better. And that is a big reason I chose Etsy over TPT.
Mm. And do you find teachers do find you there, given that a lot of teachers will be thinking more Teachers Pay Teachers, let's say, people finding you on Etsy and finding your products?
Yeah, they are. And I think probably a big reason for that is because I drive a lot of traffic there from my social media, because I have a pretty like solid following of teachers that I've connected with and they share my work. So since I'm so connected on social media, I think that enables the Etsy traffic.
Great. Yeah, we might talk more about the social media and the marketing a little bit later. What other pros and cons would you say there are of using a site or platform like Patreon or Etsy or Teachers Pay Teachers for that matter? I'm thinking here for teachers who do have some of their own resources and they're thinking of starting to sell their own products.
A big pro with Etsy is that it's super user-friendly, especially with digital products. It takes me 3 to 5 minutes to list a product. And anyone who shops on Etsy usually already has an account with it. So it's less of a hassle for your consumers who are shopping because all they have to do is press checkout and they don't have to enter their card information and address all over again. Like I feel like anytime I shop on an independent website, it's just an extra hoop to jump through because
I've never been there.
And a lot of times you can't set up accounts on those websites And then there's very minimal upkeep required compared to like a normal website where you have to fix glitches or keep up with design or updating listings. It's very user-friendly for me as a seller and those who purchase from it.
Yeah, and I was looking through your shop on Etsy and it looks amazing and it's fast. It just works, right? I guess that's the advantage of using a known marketplace is you don't have to worry about all that tech. When you bring these things onto your own website, you're going to have to go through, oh, okay, what tech am I going to use? How am I going to connect my payment gateway? You don't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really good way to get started if you don't want to be overwhelmed with learning a lot of new things.
And I think it's really instructive for teachers listening too that you don't have your own website at the moment and you've been able to build a business using just social media and these online marketplaces. I think that is the biggest water bottle or whatever that is that I've ever seen. What is that? That is an American-sized cup if ever I've seen one.
This is what I sip while I'm teaching.
Wow. Sorry. For those of you listening, Abigail's just pulled it. It looks like it's about, like, I don't know, 2 feet tall.
It's a 30-ounce water bottle.
Wow, that is impressive. I've just got my little glass here. It looks quite pathetic. So for those teachers out there, I think one of the other challenges when you start selling products and things is finding a differentiation. You know, what do you feel makes your products and services different from others on the market? Because there's a lot of teachers out there selling their resources.
Overall, I think my products and even my courses cover a larger variety of concepts than others that I've seen on the market. And that's not to say they're not out there or that mine are any better. But when I first started incorporating music games, I had a lot of trouble finding anything other than like grand staff note naming games or note value games. Like it kind of stopped there. Maybe some games that like worked with music terminology, like dynamics and articulation and stuff, but they didn't go very deep. And that's kind of the deficit that I was working out of, like trying to fill in that gap. And also I'm a classical teacher, so I wanted to kind of fill in those gaps as well. So there is a classical emphasis with my resources. Like I have some music history resources and classical listening activities. That's from the deficit of not being able to find a lot of aural skill activities outside of apps. As far as like the reading approach that I use in my materials, it's very landmark, intervallic, and directional reading based. And that was kind of the main thing I was looking for my preschoolers, because I didn't want to teach note names to a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old. It's too much stress for me.
And not much fun for them, let's be honest.
No. So I kind of just ditched the mnemonics and my reading games follow like that directional experiential approach that can also work really well with teachers who use the sound before sight approach. And then same thing with my rhythm activities. They're very patterned as opposed to just teaching individual note values. Like you'll notice any rhythm activities are either focused on time signatures or rhythm patterns, which if taught well, like I hope students would learn to feel a steady pulse and learn how multiple notes fit together instead of just isolating one note value at a time. And then on the teaching side of things, like they are designed to teach new concepts instead of just reviewing, you know, what students already know or kind of killing time. So the directions that go with all the games are written kind of to help teachers know how to use this to teach a concept instead of just playing directions, if that makes sense. And then they're very adaptable. Most of my games include 2 to 3 sets of directions so that you can adapt it for a beginner preschooler or a mid-intermediate middle schooler. And I think that's the main thing that stands out. I try to go beyond just note naming and make sure like it's very versatile for whoever you have in your studio at that time.
Hi everyone, I wanted to take a moment to let you know about an amazing community of music teachers ready to welcome you over at Top Music Pro. Top Music Pro is the global hub for music teachers looking to connect, learn, grow, and be challenged in both their teaching and studio businesses. Community members save time by accessing hundreds of step-by-step lesson plans, creative teaching frameworks, business guides, online courses, and workshops. We offer training in topics as diverse as music technique, lead sheets, website building, intermediate repertoire, group teaching, and special needs teaching. We also save you money through our extensive discounts, including those with Music Notes, Sheet Music Plus, Music Room, Office Depot, Tonebase, and many more. And if you like sheet music, all our members get a free book of studio-licensed, beautifully engraved sheet music each and every month. As a valued podcast listener, you can check out the Top Music Pro community free for 14 days by heading to topmusicpro.com, clicking Join Now on our studio tier, and using the special coupon code IMTPOD23. That's all one word. So that's IMTPOD23. We can't wait to welcome you inside. Yeah, I think that flexibility does, well, it gives more value to what some a teacher's bought if they can use it for multiple age levels and it's not all sort of more childish. They can use it for teenagers and adults and things. That makes a lot of sense. I should have asked earlier, I think, how long have you been selling online in addition to your teaching? And do you know approximately kind of what percentage of your income those products bring in compared to your lessons?
I've been selling on Etsy for 2.5 years now. As far as my income goes, it's about a fifth of my income. So like 19% of what I make total, like teaching and online selling together.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty substantial in a couple of years, I think. So did you take some courses or read books or listen to podcasts about selling and learning to do this? Or did you just go, I'm just going to start trying it myself?
I grew up around entrepreneurship. I have a big family and most of my family members have run businesses at some point. Some still are, like my sister's full-time income is from her own businesses that she runs. So I've kind of just been around that all my life and I feel like it was pretty intuitive for me. But I did have 2 music business courses in college, which I'm really grateful for because I hear there's a big deficit of that. Like
that's pretty rare. Yeah. Which college were you at?
I went to Bob Jones University in South Carolina and I studied piano pedagogy there. So there was 2 business courses specifically for music teachers going into the music world. So one of them was the entrepreneurial musician, which was more of a broad music business course. And then that's where I learned to write business plans and a lot of different like financial, I don't like all the terminology, I don't know, but you know, like taxes and all the gritty stuff with that. And then the other course I took was music business, which was like on running a private studio and technology and all the things that you can imagine go with that. So those were like kind of my formal education elements, but I also do listen to a lot of podcasts. Like I've been a long time listener of your podcast and the Vibrant Music Teaching podcast. So I'm always picking your brain and Nicola's brain and all the guests that you guys have on too.
And do you listen to podcasts outside of the music teaching space? Because I learned a lot when I started from listening to internet marketing podcasters and things like that and reading books on it too.
I have. I couldn't tell you what they were though. I don't know if they really made that much of a difference to me.
Fair enough. But
I've learned a lot from just experiencing and trial and error.
So let's go back to that question about marketing. I'm interested to know, obviously social media is a big channel for you. Is that the main way that you get new eyeballs onto your products and services? And what thoughts do you have for other teachers out there who are considering the same thing?
Instagram is my main pathway, but I also use like Facebook teaching groups where it's allowed to sell. I try not to spam, especially if I'm not allowed to.
Some of them are very prickly about that.
With that, like I try to be as organic and personable as possible when marketing because self-promotion in general just feels kind of bleh to me. But I do that by showing my games and theory pages like in action with my students. And then I also reshare posts from other teachers who are sharing how those games are working with their students and just kind of showing real life with that instead of cold advertisements. And then I also discuss materials in my stories. Like I'll show demonstrations, post reels about materials sometimes, and then provide lots of space for discussion around those things and just try to foster a lot of individual connection that way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And sharing those personal stories or stories from other teachers using your products and seeing them in action. I think that's critical, particularly for these kind of games as well. As soon as you see a game in action, you can get a feel for it and can get
it that looks a lot different than yeah, it looks a lot different than just seeing a picture of it on Etsy.
Absolutely, yeah. What would you say is the hardest thing about making an income from selling products or services for that matter online?
I would say that people have to see the need for a product or value it before they buy it. And like you said, since there is such a vast array of music teaching materials out there, it can be really hard to stand out from the crowd, much less help teachers see why a certain resource is worth their investment. Because like, I call myself the music games queen because I have a whole business doing that. But I also am not one to clutter lessons with like every possible extra resource that you can. And I definitely don't want to push teachers to clutter their education experience. So I think just showing them the value of those extra materials, but also showing them how to balance that without being overstimulating or going overboard is a really tricky balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it is hard work. And I think some teachers go into this and share their resources thinking, oh, people will just buy this, but it takes a lot of effort. And I'm interested to know a bit about Instagram and how you go about posting, but I also wanted to know about reviews and how important reviews are in your sales.
I mean, they're super important to boost visibility, like especially with Etsy, it boosts the algorithm. The more positive reviews you have, I think the more people are going to see those listings. And then when teachers see positive reviews on an item, it might either give them additional information about the item. It might let them see the item in action because some people leave reviews with pictures, but like most importantly, it's going to encourage them to buy it. So I love reviews. I'm very grateful for reviews. Please leave them.
Was looking through your Instagram the other day. Absolutely love it. It just put a smile on my face instantly. And I definitely encourage teachers to go and have a look at it. How do you go about deciding what to post?
Oh, well, thank you. Honestly, I just try to keep it real and practical. I'm not one of those people that has a really strict like posting routine whatsoever. I wish I was that organized, but my organization is elsewhere. I am constantly taking notes on what supplements or routines help my students. And I will snap photos of various activities that I think would be helpful for other teachers to see. And then some content is also inspired by questions that I get in my DMs. So like a lot of people ask me about how I teach physical technique or what repertoire choices I provide to my students, because I'm a huge proponent of supplementing. They'll ask about practice habits, like establishing a good practice routine with students. So I kind of take the questions that I'm getting and post based on that. And then I also post based on what I'm learning and what's helping me and just try to keep it really real.
Yeah. And we had Lauren Kelly on just a couple of weeks ago, and she just said, look, I post what I would want to see myself as well. And that's, she's kind of flexible like that as well and has built a big following. I mean, you've got a couple of thousand at least following, haven't you, on Instagram?
Something like that.
Yeah. It's great. But it's also about that engagement. It's not just about post. It's about connect, exactly. Answer yeah. Questions, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, we mentioned there's lots of teachers trying to sell resources online. What strategies or tips, other than the ones we've spoken about already, would you have for teachers who are listening who are keen to start selling their compositions or games or whatever it is?
I would say create for your students first instead of just trying to whip out a bunch of products that you want to make money off of. Because if you find something that works, other teachers are going to want it too, as opposed to just creating for the sake of creating. I've just found from my own experience that if I just make something to add something to the shop, it actually doesn't take off very well. People want to see what's working with my students and like kind of see how they're enjoying it. So create to meet your students' needs first, not to get sidetracked from your students. I think it's really important that those go hand in hand. And then the second thing is to be super clear with your branding and be as original as possible. people should be able to tell at first glance that a product is yours and not just a Canva template. So take that time to put together a cohesive color palette, fonts, find a common thread that you can implement throughout all your games or worksheets or whatever it is you're selling. Like my theme is houses because my method is called Whole Foundation Method. It's kind of like to imply that it's a comprehensive method for beginners and intermediate students. So I took off with the foundation idea and used it as a play on word for a housing foundation. So I have like,
that's a great idea.
Thank you. I have like houses and keys and doors and anything else that's like homey or suburban kind of interwoven through a lot of my materials.
Yeah, I think having that theme really makes a lot of sense. I mean, we had cats, I guess, kind of in some of our branding because everyone knows Bronson, who's just walked in. He'll add to the cacophony of noise behind me shortly. And I think that's true. You want to be able to, you want teachers to be able to see that and go, aha, that's Abigail's stuff. Aha, that's Jennifer's stuff. And you can. And I'm sure teachers, if they think about the teachers out there selling things, they'd be able to go, yeah, I think I can tell these ones apart. So definitely, great idea. Now, you may have already kind of answered this, but if I asked you what the number one characteristic of successful teachers turned entrepreneurs in our space would be, what do you think that would be?
In addition to branding, I would say connection, like just connecting with your audience on a personal level will show you what they need and encourage them to keep coming to you for resources. Like you just can't get feedback or build a reputation without conversing. And that's always what I've been about, is building relationships first, like with my students. That's why I'm creating resources to meet their needs, and then building relationships with teachers so I can create resources to meet their needs. It all kind of ties together. And I think everything should start relationally.
I think that is just super critical. That connection is just so important. You know, you've got a lot of background and experience here. Is there anything we've forgotten to talk about that you'd like to add before we wrap things up?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that's it's everything I can offer you at 9 p.m.
You've done really well. It's so late at night. Where can people go to find out more about you and have a look at some of your amazing products?
You can find me right now until I have a website on Instagram at Profit Piano Studio, and that is with two F's and two T's.
Double the profit, right?
Oh, yeah. Because every music teacher does that, right? But yeah, all my teaching resources are linked there, like my Patreon, my Etsy, my Amazon storefront that has all the teaching materials that I can recommend. That's my central location for now.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Abigail, and sharing those tips with us. And encourage everyone to go and check out your stuff. And we'll keep in touch. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Good talking to you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's interview with Abigail. You've got some ideas for how you could sell your own resources online or get some more sales happening for the products you already have out there in the world. If you'd like to check out some of Abigail's games for free, I'm excited to announce that later in this year, 2023, she is going to be one of our top music games creators. This is our exciting new monthly bundle that we're including in all of our memberships, including our $10 a month light plan. If you remember on any of our plans, you not only get a collection of studio licensed sheet music to use with your students, but you also now get our top music games, our collection of games from incredible creators like Abigail all around the world, each and every month straight into your inbox. So if you would like to experience Abigail's games and try them out in your studio, make sure you're a Top Music Pro member. You can head over to topmusicpro.com to join us, as I say, on any of our plans, and you will be able to receive them later this year. Well, that's the end of the show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed spending time with me. I've enjoyed hanging out with you and with Abigail, and I look forward to speaking to you all again this time next week. Bye-bye, everyone. How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today. If you enjoy this show and want to hear more of our work, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today. For links and resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at topmusic.co/podcast or check out the show notes. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast, a production of Top Music. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead, and I'll catch you next time.